This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be here on this broadcast every Saturday, Lord willing. We say happy Shabbat today.
Amen. Shabbat Amen. Shalom. Yes.
Shabbat Shalom to everyone. And we're here every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 p.m. So I hope you can stay tuned and listen to what Pastor Gene and what we're going to share today from God's Word, God's Holy Word. Amen. I just want to mention one thing, Pastor Gene, is that I want to remind people to get out and vote. They can go and vote now.
Absolutely, yes.
Amen. And so get out and vote on voting day. So it's very important that we all vote and that we vote according to the Bible, what God's Word says. Also want to remind people that the Bible Reading Marathon, they're signing people up now, and I believe the board is starting to get quite a few names on it.
Hallelujah.
So we praise God for that. For everyone who has already called and signed up, it's good to sign up ahead of time. This way you can get where you can read where you want to read, hopefully the right time. And it's just a blessing to be able to read God's Word again this year, the 18th year here in Martin County at the Bandshell on government property in Stuart, Florida. So please give us a call. There's a phone number that you can give us. We'll give you the phone number in a few minutes. And you can call that number and you can sign up.
Sign up.
You can call Joanne and she will sign you on the board. She has the board and she can sign you up. We read 90 hours, that's around the clock, and
that's why it's called a marathon.
That's why it's called a marathon. Amen. Amen. I'm going to give you her phone number. It's area code 561-670-0469. That's 561-670-0469. So people, we already have somebody coming from Fort Lauderdale, Pastor Gene.
Mm-hmm.
And some people come from Okeechobee.
That's right.
And some people call in, actually. We have some people calling in from North Carolina, or is that South Carolina?
South Carolina.
So, if you're in the area, please come down and read. A lot of people call and they want to read over the telephone, but if you're in the area, just come on down.
Amen.
And we would like to, these people who can't come to Florida or can't come to Martin County to read, they've read maybe they've read for all 17 years. I know the ones in South Carolina have.
Yes.
Judy and Daryl
McCray.
Amen. We say hello to you because they listen to us also on this radio broadcast. So, they come, then they call in and they read. So what you do is you sign up for 15 minutes to read.
Yeah, can you give God 15 minutes? Yes.
Amen. So it takes 90 hours. It takes lots and lots of readers. So please give us a call at that number I just gave you, and we'd be glad to. Joanne would be glad to put you on the board to sign up to read for 15 minutes or longer. Bring a group. Bring your Bible study. Bring your family. Bring your children. Anyone can read the Bible. Amen. And
Amen.
So that's all about. It's all about reading God's Word. And we're just blessed to be able to do that on government property and lift up the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
And it says over there in Psalm 138:2. Mm-hmm. What does it say there, Pastor Gene?
That God honors His word higher than His name at the tail end of that verse.
That's right. So his word is very, very important.
And we know who the word is, don't we? It's Yeshua, Christ our Messiah.
Yeshua is the word of God.
Amen.
So I just wanted to mention that. And so I'm glad you're here listening. And we just say Shabbat Shalom.
That's
have,
right. Shabbat Shalom.
A restful shalom. Day. And we also have services this afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Alliance Church in Stuart, Florida on Osceola Boulevard. That's 445
Southeast
Osceola Boulevard, right next to the hospital.
Right.
So a little white church on the corner. So come and worship the Lord with us at 2 o'clock this afternoon if you happen to be in the area. Amen?
Amen.
All right, Pastor Gene.
Well, anyway, we're honored to be here with you. And we've been on the radio here for a long time. And Don and I have been through some troubling times this year, but we're slowly getting through it. Still got a ways to go in some areas, but we want to thank all of you that prayed. There must have been thousands and thousands of people that prayed for us this year for our health and getting back in the place that we were at. And I want to also thank those that stood on this radio program for us and stood in while we were there and did the programs for us. And it was an honor to have them do that. And so God
and
will bless.
And we still need prayer.
And
Amen.
We still need
we're
prayer.
Still coming through.
That's right. So I was thinking about some things this week a little bit. You know, when I got saved, Don and I got right into Bible school where we were going to church. They had a two-year program. And they took us through the entire Bible the first year. And I remember reading, as we got into the New Testament, and we got over here into Timothy, and I remember reading 1 Timothy chapter 3. And when we read that in the class and all, I meditated on that the following week, and I thought, gee, I'm not fivefold ministry right now, and I didn't know what God was going to have me to do. I didn't know. And but I looked at all these qualifications to be an elder or a bishop. You know, an elder, bishop, and pastor is really the same word in the Greek here. And I thought, wow, I'd like to have that in my life. I claim it for myself. And so I wanted to pursue having these attributes in my life. And so you that are listening today, you should think about yourself as well. These are attributes that we should all have, even if you're not in leadership, to show God that you're wanting to do what he'd have you to do. So I had no idea what I was going to do when we got to the church. After we got saved and started going to church in Fort Lauderdale, and I didn't know what to do, and so they asked me to be an usher.
So, you know what? Pastor Jim's going to butt in here for a minute, because I remember one thing that Pastor Rick Thomas used to say, and he say, or point to yourself, all the minister says, because when you become born again, he says, you are a minister.
That's right.
Now, you may not be at that time, know exactly what your calling is, but everyone who becomes a Christian, they're all a minister.
That's right.
And so he would say, point to yourself and say,
I am a minister of the gospel.
Of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Go ahead, honey.
So anyway, I didn't know what to do, so they asked me to be an usher. So I ushed for, I don't know, what was it, close to a year. And then we went to a conference, and I got touched by the speaker at the conference about getting into the youth ministry. And I thought, Lord, I've had all that. I coached my son baseball for 11 or 12 years, and I don't want to do it. So he really impressed on me that he wanted me to do it. And so as I was sitting there with him in some of the meetings and thought about it, and I kept talking with him, and he says, when you get home, I want you to go to the youth pastor in your church and tell him you're available. And I thought, oh boy, So when we got home, in fact, remember we had several people go in our van, and I cried about all the way home.
Praise the Lord.
Because the Lord was dealing, when he deals with you,
you
got to do something, you got to move. So I got home and I did that. And it was really, I didn't feel it was my call at all, but I love coaching boys and with baseball and all that. And so I was in there kind of like on a trial basis the first couple of months. And so they got me involved with all these skits they did at the church. I had to dress up like Abraham and all these things, And it was out of my what I usually do, But I got so I could do that. And then one day, the pastor says, "Well, you're going to teach next Sunday." We had two classes on Sunday morning because we had two services on Sunday morning. And so I spent all this time all week getting ready to do this. And when I got up to speak, and I was done in 10 minutes, didn't have anything else to say. And that's hard to believe when you listen to me now. But anyway, so that was the first introduction I had. And so finally, after all that happened, well, then I quit being an usher. And the pastor, Pastor Thomas, told me, he says, you're not an usher anymore. He says, you're in children's church. And so he said, I want you to make that your number one priority. And so I did. And so from that point on, when you're faithful, God takes you to the next level, to the next level, to the next level. And so it was a growing process. But I really got hung up in the class on a Bible school about 1 Timothy chapter 3, about the qualifications of a minister. Well, I thought to myself, well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a bishop. I'm not an elder. I'm a nobody. I'm just born again, you know. But the Lord put on my heart to really do this. So I want to read this with you and talk a little bit. You know, a lot of Christians come to the Lord, and we've met a lot of them in our years with our church, because our church has been going for 25 years. And as soon as they get saved, they want to get into ministry. And like there's no training period, they just want to jump in there and start a ministry. Well, that's really out of order with what God says to do. Now, think about Jesus. You know, he walked the earth for 3.5 years. His disciples were with him for 3.5 years, and then after 3.5 years of training, he released them to go out and accomplish what needed to be done. And we know what he did. You know, he taught, and he preached sometimes, and then he demonstrated or manifested what he was talking about. And so there was a process for us as believers to walk in that place, to walk and do the things that the Lord did, and we have to learn that as we go. So we went to that 2-year Bible school, and it was a blessing. First year went through the entire Bible. The second year, we specialized in things about the Holy Ghost and some other things. And it was the best thing that ever happened to us. The week after we got saved, we were in that class. And so this really touched me when I read this. And so we're going to read this to start with. And so if there's somebody here today that's listening, maybe a young person or maybe middle-aged, that's got an aspiration to go into the ministry, well, it has to be done the right way. And so we did it the right way. We took the schooling, and we went to classes, and we did all that. And finally, our pastor realized it, and they released us then to go out and do the work of the ministry. And so that's what God wants. He wants us to do it the right way. We need to be taught, trained, and activated. Wouldn't you all agree with that? I hope you do, because that's so important that we know that. So let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm just going to read here, and then we'll talk about this. And I got a couple other places I want to go. Verse 1 in chapter 3 says, "This is a true saying." Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
"If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires the good work." Now, this word bishop in the Greek, it can be an elder, it can be a pastor or a bishop. Now, the one thing that caught my eye years ago, you see the word man in this verse? The Greek word for man is the word aner. This is not the word aner, okay? And so I thought, what is that? So I looked it up. It's the word anthropos. It means mankind. So that means anybody that could have a desire to be a bishop or an elder in the church. And we got this thought about women. You know, they can't do this, they can't do that. But this says that everybody can. But now we know when Paul speaks here through this, he's talking now about a man and his relationship and all, and important with his wife and all, to be in a place to be an elder or a bishop in the church. And so then it says in verse 2, "A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife." And I want to say this on their radio. It doesn't mean one husband, or I'm sorry, one wife at a time, husbands. It means one wife for life. Amen? But we see that. "The husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, and apt to teach." There's a key one. If you don't think you can teach, then don't even ask to be an elder. You should have an unction in you to teach if you want to be in fivefold ministry or whatever. "Now, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre," you know, money, "but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity." Now, you might share that. I'm not going to mention the man's name, but a well-known man that we love very much. He traveled on the road as an evangelist for a long time. And he used to tell us sometimes they didn't put him up in a hotel, and he had to stay at the pastor's house. When he saw what was going on with the kids and all that, he thought, "My gosh, and this man's in charge of a church, and his household is not even in order." And so he had to deal with some things. And of course, always he tried to address that with people, you know. Now, verse 5, "For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" Isn't that true? Mm-hmm. "Not a novice," that means not a beginner. Mm-hmm. So that's what got me when I was in school, a novice. Well, I said, "Lord, I'm a novice. I'm just freshly born again. And I don't know how I have all these attributes." But he says, "Well, you can get them as you study and spend time with me and go to the classes and you'll learn." Mm-hmm. And it says, "Lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without." Now, that's an interesting one, that we should have a good report with those that are not even in the body of Christ. "Lest he fall into reproach, and be what? And what? And the snare of the devil. Likewise, and he talks about deacons, almost the same requirements. What's a deacon? A deacon is one that serves. A deacon's not one that votes. He's the one that serves in the church. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, saying one thing and then meaning something else or whatever, not given to too much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Wow. And let these also first be what? Here you go. Proved. You hear that? Proved. So the church we got saved in, our pastor there required anybody that was going to go into ministry, he would place them in a position temporarily, and they would look at them and see what they did for a whole year before they'd ever ordain them and put them in that place. So we have to be proved that we're with us, with the Lord. Amen? We need to know those that labor with us. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so, must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Now we're talking about their wives, huh? I got one right across the table from me here. It fulfills all this. Yes. Let the deacons be the husbands, again, of what? One wife, and I'll say it again, not one wife at a time. One wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things write I unto thee, Paul says, hoping to come unto you shortly. Hallelujah. So, I need to read 15 too. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of what? Of the truth. That's incredible. Now, I want to go over to Titus chapter 1 with you. Let's go over to Titus. The little book of Titus. I went too far here. I should have had my Bible opened up to that, but I didn't. I'll get there in a moment. Just be patient with us.
Okay.
So, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity. Yes. We thank you for WCNO Radio and all that they're doing up and down the Treasure Coast and wherever it's picked up. We just thank you, Father, that we have a privilege to be on the program here with WCNO and to know what they're accomplishing and doing. Okay, Donna got it real quick for me.
Hallelujah.
Okay, 1 Peter. This is in chapter 1.
Well, you said Titus.
Or I'm sorry, Titus. I just saw Peter. I'm thinking about Peter. All right, Titus chapter 1. Now listen to this. This is something. I like the first two verses. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after what? Godliness. This is what this is all about. We're talking about today. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Now we go down to verse 4. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. So Paul was training what? Titus to be what? An apostle. The apostles were the ones that placed, and the prophets placed those in eldership. And so he was supposed to do it the right way. If in verse 6, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife again, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given in wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate. You know, hospitality is a very important gift in the church. You know that? A lot of people, that we've had people in our church, that's their main gift was hospitality. Some people have a gift of giving. We've had people that just gave all the time. Awesome amounts of money to the church all the time. Amen? So that's what was said about Titus. Now, we've said all that, and I wanted to be in a place where I could be taught, trained, and activated so I could fulfill this in my life. And so I want to take you back over now. Give you your Bible back, honey. I want to go back to the book of Ephesians now. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to see something very interesting here with all this. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to start in verse 7 here. Well, 3 is very important. we as a believer. It says endeavoring to keep the unity. We talked about this meeting we had with the pastors yesterday. Keeping the unity of the Spirit, how? In the bond of peace. So important. Now we go down to verse 7. But unto every one of us is given what? Grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now we're going to see some things here as we look at this closely. When we have a call in our life, when I finally was called to do what God wanted me to do, it was a gift that was given to me by Jesus Christ himself. That was given to me. Well, then God places them in order in the church the way he wants them to be done. We're going to see that. But let's finish reading this. So remember, whatever gift you have, it came from who? Christ gave you a portion of himself. Verse 8 says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts. Here we go. Gave gifts unto what? Unto men. We were all held captive by the devil until we came, right? And
amen.
we were released when Christ came into our lives. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And he gave some. Now, you know, got to remember the word some. It doesn't mean everybody. You know, some people get saved and say, well, I'm a prophet. I've had people come up and give me a card after they got saved.
Prophet so much.
Prophet Jane or Bob or Bill or whoever it may be, and just give you a card. You don't have to announce who you are. You just do your work and do what God wants you to do, and it's going to be obvious what your call in your life is. Amen? So it says right here that he gave some, not everybody, to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, I remember when I first was wondering what I was supposed to be called, and I knew I was called to fivefold ministry. And one day I got a word about an apostolic dimension in my life, and I thought, well, Lord, how can that be? He says, because I've chosen you for that purpose. And so then he showed me that I was to be an apostolic teacher, because I'm really not a pastor, but I'm filling in as a pastor, but that's not my primary call. And so the Lord showed me that, and so he says, don't be ashamed to tell people that your call in your life is an apostolic teacher. And so that's what I've been doing since that time. And you know, when you're in fivefold ministry, you know, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, they all, we've mentioned before, are have to apt to be taught, right? And sometimes you can cross over.
To teach.
Even though that may not be your primary call, you can function in that office as well if God wants you to do that.
Amen? Can I tell a little story?
Go right ahead.
I remember when you were spending so much time in this and praying over it and asking the Lord. And even after we started our church, because we were assistant pastors before that,
right.
And then we did certain things, you know, that we were asked to do. But when the church started, everything seemed to change. You know, you seemed to move in the gift of prophecy. You moved in. I mean, we were prophesying the very first service.
I never
we
prophesied
didn't know anything
over
about
body till then. Yeah,
and we had never prophesied before that. So you know, that gift was there, but it hadn't been stirred up. And so, and then you kept saying, you know, well, I don't want to be a prophet because I know they killed a prophet. And he said, you can do that. And I did move in a lot of things in prophetic things. And like this Bible marathon, that's the prophetic mandate that the Lord spoke to me prophetically. But that's why I was so heavy on my heart, you know, because it's got what God has ordained for this
that's
county
right.
And for this city. And, you know, this Bible marathon brings people together. It's not the churches, because we are the church, the people, they're the church. And this Bible marathon, it seems like it doesn't bring churches together so much, because we have tried to do that over the years, but it has brought people together, because it's God's word, and people come out to read. And of course, some pastors are there too, and a lot of them do advertise it in their churches, but really the church is the people.
That's right.
It's the
ecclesia.
People. Right. And we sometimes look for a building. Well, God really isn't. Sometimes he doesn't want to be in a building. He doesn't want to be boxed
that's
in
right.
with four walls. He wants to be out in the open. He wants to be the word of God.
He wants
spoken.
To speak, doesn't he?
He wants to speak. But you used to always say that, you know. Well, you can be the prophet. I said, I don't want to be a prophet. He's not. They kill the prophets. But you used to move in all those gifts, all five of those gifts, and that's why you said, well, what you know, what am I really? But, you know, we can switch over and move in different gifts. It's according to what is needed at the time.
That's right.
You know, there's gifts of healing, but not everyone is, you know, has, some people have a great ministry of healing, say tumors or certain things, you know, or legs growing out. I've seen all these different things, but that doesn't mean it's there all the time.
That's right.
It's whatever gift is needed.
Amen.
And I know that when you and of course you have gotten a lot of prophetic words about yourself. But when you realized, you know, it was the apostolic teaching, and that's where your gift is, because maybe you taught 10 minutes that first time and you spent hours and hours and hours studying, studying all week, and 10 minutes
and ran out of gas.
You were done. And hallelujah.
Yeah.
And he used to say, I'll stand on my head and spit
with nickels,
with nickels
if it brings a child
to the Lord. Yeah. And, you know, because we love children. And so, but anyways, when you realize what that was, then you know that you can cross over. We do cross over
into
different gifts. But everyone has a
primary call.
That's
what you got to find. What's your primary call?
And you love to teach, and you could stand or sit and teach for hours until, you know, people get so much they're overstuffed. You know, sometimes we can overstuff people with too much. But
I never choked on a good steak, though.
No, well, but if you don't have some liquid to help, you know, you need something, water too. You know, you can't just eat steak. Yeah. You know, could get stuck in your throat. But anyways, when you realize this, then you had peace, you know, because, you know, why am I moving in all these different gifts, and I don't even understand why these are things are happening.
But the key thing is God didn't move on me that way until we started the church.
That's right.
Of Spirit of Prophecy. That very first meeting we had, it began to flow, and I didn't recognize it to start with, but I thought, wow, look what he's doing. And we had opened the church. We'd been there, about 3 months, and we had that evangelist from England come. And he was done after a couple of nights, and he says,
Walters,
he said, Pastor Gene, you got it. And before I got up, the Lord said, I want you to call all the men up front, and I want you to prophesy over every single one of them. I've never done that. But you know what? I was kind of like this, you know.
But you did.
I brought them all up, and they lined them up, and every one of them had a special word that came from God. And I felt so good when I got done, because I said, I never thought I could do that. But see, the prophecy that goes forth is to bless the person, to encourage and to comfort. It's not to tear down or anything. And I felt so good about it. And that was my first experience with really delving into the deep things of God and being able to do that.
And so, I think everyone ended up on the floor. Really an unusual meeting.
Yeah.
And, you know, these things just happened because that's when it was needed. See,
right.
Before things we were doing, perhaps it wasn't needed, but that was needed at that time because the Lord even gave you the name of the church, Spirit of Prophecy, and you thought it was just because you were going to teach end time prophecy, but it was more than that. Because the Spirit of Prophecy is not just teaching prophetic things, but it's bringing forth a living word, a rhema word to somebody who needs to hear from the Lord. And, you know, we got to realize too, we're just a vessel. We're absolutely nothing. If we are empty of all of self and all the stuff, you know, that holds us back, then God will flow through us. So, you know, it's not us that does it. It's God that does it.
He says, open your mouth and I'll fill it.
That's right. Open your mouth and he says,
well, I'm reminded of this as well. Later on, we got hooked up with Christian International Ministries with Bishop Hammond up in Santa Rosa Beach, and we became a CI church. And I remember we used to go up there at their conference every year, and they'd pick a team of different people that's been with their organization for a while and taught and trained and activated and all this to prophesy. And they had one day every week when you had the conference that they'd call out. Everybody would get a word, and they had teams go out. And so one year they picked us to prophesy, and here we had 10 people sitting in chairs, and I don't know whether they were prophets or apostles, and some of the works that they might have done would have blown me away, and we were to speak a word over them, and I was trembling. I was like Paul. I was trembling. And so
who are we, right?
Yeah, who are we? And so we spoke a word over all of them, after the first person, it got really free. And then later on, when we had lunch and we were down in the cafeteria in the gymnasium where they ate and all that, several of those pastors came up to us and said, the word that we got from you, we needed to hear that. It was very timely. That's the kind of things you want to hear. You know, we hear from God, and we've had so many things that we've spoken. We had a lady one time call us on the telephone from Georgia, and she never was in our church, but somebody told her, if you need a word, why don't you call Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton at Spirit of Prophecy down in Stuart, Florida, and maybe they'll prophesy over you. And this woman had terminal cancer, and she called us. And so she was looking for a word about her healing. And so we prayed, and I told her, I says, we're going to put this on a tape, and we're going to send it to you. But I told her, now I'm not going to guarantee you, as we open up with the Lord, that he's going to tell you you're going to be healed in a moment of time. And so we prophesied, didn't we, Donna? And the key thing that came forth was that she was to go back to her ministry because she laid it down, and you go back and do the work that I've called you to do, and I'll take care of the rest of it. So we didn't. That was the end of it, and we had the tape. We mailed it to her, and I don't know, what was it, honey? 2 or 3 months later, she calls back again, all excited, and she says, that word that you spoke over us about my healing, she says, when I went back and did the ministry that God called me to, I was healed, went back to the doctor, cancer is gone. Amen. Hallelujah. So what a timely word.
Amen.
So you don't have to be in somebody's presence. The Spirit of God is everywhere. And so, you know, we tell people, you don't have to be right in front of somebody. You don't have to pray in tongues before you prophesy. You might want to, or God might show you to do that, but you just flow with the Spirit of God. And like you said, the river's full all the time. God wants to speak. He's going to use us to speak to people because he's not here on the earth right now. He wants us to encourage and comfort people and do all those things. That's what it was all about. Amen?
I want to add a little something to it, because some people think that only prophets can prophesy.
That's right.
But that's not the case. Because we've trained a lot of people to speak forth the prophetic word.
Yep.
So, you know, how did you get saved? You had to hear from the Lord, didn't you? You had to hear. So you heard something to get saved.
That's right.
So, you know, if you're trained properly, and like you said, everything that we ever do, we always put it on tape, for protection for ourselves and the person who hears it. Many times you're hearing a prophecy and you might think it's something else, but if you listen to it and you write it down and you listen to it over and over again, you'll realize it may be not what you thought it was. Or you might forget part of it because, you know, you're not going to remember everything all the time. So it's important to teach, train, and activate like you're talking about, because, you know, everyone can prophesy, but not everyone's a prophet.
That's right.
So there's a difference in the two, and I know we don't have time to go into teaching of the differences, but we can all hear from the Lord, and we can all bring forth a prophetic word. Now, you know, mainly a lot of the prophets in the Old Testament, you know, they brought judgment and they spoke things
sure
like that.
Yeah.
But when you're prophesying to somebody and you want to bring forth the living word, something that's going to help them, encourage
Absolutely.
Them, and bring them to the place where God wants them to be. Amen.
That's right. So it's very important we understand all this, you know. And so we have a class called a spiritual gifts class that we do every so often. And it's 12 weeks, and it's very in-depth, and we teach and train on something, and then we lay hands on the people, release them, and we let them to minister what they just heard with each other. Mm-hmm. And it's really wonderful. And so we need to have that privilege to be able to do that. And we got one of the things in our things on the table, instructions for our church, we don't allow we call them parking lot prophecies. Don't go out in the parking lot and prophesy over somebody. You come back into the church, tell us that you'd like to do that. We'll put it on tape, and we'll listen to it, and then they can take it home, okay? So that's what's key about it. Well, let's finish this up here. I was down here in verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. We already read this next verse, too. But verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. We see a lot of that in the church today, don't we? Young, you know, they think they're mature, but they're not. Tossed to and fro and carried away with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. So many Christians want to get a new word. They're always wanting to hear something new and fresh. Why don't we take what we already know and do something with it to touch somebody's life and bring them into the kingdom of God?
Another thing is, if they keep getting the same word over and over again, it means
they're not moving on.
They haven't moved on.
That's right. Now, where I want to go next, I want to go over to 1 Corinthians.
And that happens. Sometimes
Chapter
people get
12.
The same word over and over again from
that's
different
right.
people or different mm-hmm. churches, different places. And they say, well, gee, that's the same thing that so-and-so I got somewhere else, maybe
right.
a year ago.
That's right.
And, you know, move on. Do what it says.
That's
and then
it.
God will take you to the next place.
He sure will. All right. Chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians.
Oh.
Now, we mentioned a moment ago over in Ephesians chapter 4 that Jesus gave of himself gifts to the church. Okay? To the church. Okay? And we go over to 1 Corinthians 12. You know, this was written by the same man. Paul wrote both those letters. And we go to chapter 12, verse 28, and we find out that Jesus gives us the gift, and then look what it says. And God has set some in the church, So God's the one that sets them in place. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Isn't that amazing? So this is the order that he has. Now, he doesn't mention, does he, about the evangelist or a pastor there, really. Mm-mm. But these are the three main ministries that God wanted to have put in place in the church when they first started. And then it goes on, are all apostles? The answer is no. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? Not necessarily the kind of teachers he's talking about, but we all can teach, I hope. Are all workers of miracles? Not necessarily. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? This means multiple tongues. Do all interpret? Some people can interpret different types of tongues. Some people don't have that. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So what would be the best gift in every situation?
What is needed
at that particular time with somebody. That's the best gift that you could bring to a person, okay?
Amen. Interesting how the Bible talks about coveting. There's another place where it talks about coveting,
right.
Just prophesy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people think about the word covet. Well, we're not supposed to covet. But the things of God, we are to covet these things, you know?
Amen.
And it says that right there. It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. Best gifts. Not to lift yourself up, not to be prideful, because God doesn't want you to be high and lofty and you know, think you're something. No, he wants you to be humble and you know, humble yourself before the Lord, and
right.
he will exalt you and he'll use you, but not for your own gain or for self
gratification or lifting yourself up.
It's for the glory of the Lord. Amen.
Now, before Paul wrote verse 28, he wrote verse 18 in this chapter. Look what it says. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath what? Pleased him, not me or man. That's why I questioned what I was going to do when I got saved. Lord, what's my call? What am I supposed to be doing for you? And so as we go along.
And I like verse 20 because it says there's many members.
That's why. Yeah, but one body. Yeshua's body. Amen. So this is an interesting thing. So when I got saved, I wanted to fulfill all those things in 1 Timothy chapter 3. I wanted to have that in my life. And some things are not easy to come by, are they?
Mm.
And we have things that we grew up with. We all had familiar spirits around when we got saved. Mm-hmm. That the enemy tries to work overtime to get us to fall back into a particular area. And the thing that always caught me in 1 Timothy 3 was not a novice. It can't be somebody just born again wanting to go into the ministry without training and activation and all that. And Pastor Tom's not here, but he could tell you what he went through when he got ordained in the Church of God to be able to be a minister there.
Glory to God.
And so, you know, some people might say, well, that's not necessary. But God's got instructions. You know, Jesus trained his disciples, as I said earlier, for 3.5 years before he released them, all right?
And then, I want to read something over here. 1 Corinthians 14:37.
Yeah.
It says, if any man, and that would be a man or a woman, right? Or even a child. We've had 3- and 4-year-olds prophesy.
Yeah.
You know, look what happened. We have such examples in the Bible. Look what happened to Samuel.
That's right.
Right? It says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of
the Lord.
But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant.
That's right.
Some people don't want to learn. Some people have a mindset because they've been taught a certain thing, maybe when they were a child or maybe in a certain church, and maybe it's not the complete truth. So they don't want to get into the Word and study the Word of God. But it says, and I know people that have never, they don't even read their Bible, you know? I just want to hear from whatever the pastor has to say. Verse 39 says, wherefore, brethren, covet. Here's this word covet again. Covet to prophesy. So if prophecy is very important to God, because it brings life, you know, it's life. And it says to forbid not to speak with tongues. Well, that's another whole subject we could talk about maybe at another time. But, you know, that the gift of tongues is not just for certain people. It's for anyone. It's gifts are gifts. You know, God gives out gifts. He doesn't say, well, you can have this gift. But you can't have the gifts of tongues. No, God doesn't do that. You know, it's a gift, and He, you know, everybody in the The 120, and plus there were women in there, you know, when Jesus said Mary, to wait and tarry.
Jesus' mother was there too.
Right, and you know, every one of them received
the baptism of the Holy Ghost,
and they spoke with tongues.
That's right.
Amen. And they worshiped God, and they lifted up the Lord. It says, let all things be done decently and in order. Well, everybody's so concerned about the decently and order that they don't do
about
anything.
Doing anything. That's right. You know, and we think about it. We opened our church, and we didn't have the training from Christian International that we had later on, but we went to Bible school, and the way we started off, and it's funny, you know, God, it was always something that was good, and we had enough insight that when a prophetic word went out, we had a tape running for the meeting, and then we had a lady in our church would go home and pull off the prophetic word if it was spoken to an individual and give them a copy of it, and we had a copy, so we had a book about that thick, didn't we? And then we went to CI and found out we could put them on tape and all that. But we never had anything that I felt that was out of order.
Now people have a phone. They can just turn their phone on and they can just tape it as somebody's speaking it to them. Amen.
That's right.
All right, Pastor Gene. Well,
these verses are important right here in 14.
Thank you, Lord. I wonder if Miss Margie or if we have Bob with us. Bob McKnight is
with us from California.
And then, of course, we have Margie Sweeney here with us as well. So I was wondering if either one of you would like to share a little something that the Lord's laid on your heart.
About growing up in the things of the Lord, yeah.
I would say that I live in California, but when I'm in the Treasure Coast, I visit the Spirit of Prophecy Church, and I consider myself a part of it. And I was visiting one time a few years back, and they laid hands on me and prophesied and said that I would be working with Indians. And I had just finished working FEMA wildfires in California and been on Indian reservations. And so I thought for sure I was going to be going back to those Indians. But lo and behold, a church in Arizona called me up one day and asked me to do a trip to India on their behalf.
Yeah.
And I spent 6 months in South India. And it was a result of that prophecy that I was prepared to jump on that opportunity.
That was an example of hearing something the first time you thought it meant was going to be something else, and then God showed you, hey, it's something even deeper and more involved. Yeah, that's right.
And it was a wonderful 6 months in India ministering.
Wow, it's good.
Well, you know what's good about that is also that when God gives you a prophetic word, you don't try to add to it.
Nope.
Because the soul or the mind would try to add to it. So what you do is you just give the word, you just drop the word, and then let the Lord do it, and then to that person, and then you know the Lord will bring it to pass, if it's of the Lord. Amen.
Yes.
So, but that's what a lot of people do.
They
try to figure it out or add to it. Not to try to add to it, not to get in the soulish realm, or not to even pray. What a person's supposed to do? Who's bringing forth a word? They just give the word. And then they leave it. You don't. Everybody wants to add their own thought to it or a scripture. No, you can't do that. You got to just give the word and just go on. Go to the next person. Amen.
Amen.
Watch out. Here's a good example with us. We were in a meeting with a CI minister up in Santa Rosa one time. Or no, it was in Daytona. And we were called out, and he gave us a word. And he says, you two are apostolic ministers to present.
Romance.
We were apostolic ministers to teach romance. And I thought it was about her and I.
Our marriage.
Marriage, okay. And so we listened to that several times, and then later on, we got another word, and I began to realize then what God was saying. He says, if you can romance me the way I want you to romance me, well, then you'll be able to romance other people and bring them to me in a great way. And so I had a whole different thought then about having an apostolic romance. Because our marriage was good, you know. But just things you can think of that you think it means something, but you find out later that it doesn't mean that.
Because, you know, we don't get the mind of the Spirit. We start going back to our own mind and start thinking what it could be.
That's right. As Donna just spoke, you can start off prophesying in the Spirit, and if you're not careful, it's real easy then to get into the soulish realm, and then you're going to have some problems because you may not be giving them the full truth, okay? So I want to stay in the Spirit when I do it. And sometimes it's real short, and sometimes it's longer. But just give them the mail and let God take care of it.
Amen.
All right, Margie,
praise
you have something you
Margie?
Want to We got about 12 minutes here to go.
Well, praise the Lord.
She's got a whole page here to go through.
I'll do the very best that I can.
Okay.
And this was so good today. And I just thank you, Father, for your holy word spoken today.
Yes.
For the precious children of God who are listening today that might or have an unction to serve in leadership, or they would just like to know the order and the standard that God has put.
That's right. He has an order, doesn't he?
In place for us to live a holy life,
mm-hmm,
according to his plan and purpose for your life. God is our pattern, our example.
Yes.
The only example to live a holy life. And I have a few scriptures of example, too. And I'd like to read 1 Timothy 3 and 14 and 15.
All right.
These things I write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God.
Yes.
Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So in 1 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verse 12.
Okay.
And this is Paul's testimony to Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Yeah.
Who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious,
mm-hmm,
but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief.
Weren't we all in that place at one time?
And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
Yep.
I am a sinner saved by grace.
Grace, yes.
And I was a mess and I was broken. And I thank the Lord for what he is doing in my life. In Matthew 4, if we could go there.
Okay.
We still have time. Matthew 4, 18 and 19. And as I was mentioning about how we ought to behave, and how does the Lord, when we come to the Lord, how does it happen that we come into ministry? And I read in 18 and 19 of chapter 4.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.
That's what's important, yeah.
Is just to follow them.
Yeah.
Jesus called them from a lower labor,
yeah,
to a similar higher labor. The fishermen became disciples, fishers of men.
Yep. Yeah.
And Jesus taught them, he trained them, and he demonstrated to all of his disciples the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Which is his order. He chose men that were lowly and unlearned.
Not one religious leader he called, did he?
No. For such was God's method. He taught them how they should behave.
Yes.
Do I still have time?
Yeah, we got about five.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, keep going.
1 Corinthians.
Okay, we'll go back to 1 Corinthians. I like reading the scriptures. This is the word of God. This is not what we're thinking or what we're doing. This is what God said.
Yes.
1 Corinthians what?
1 Corinthians 1.
Okay, right to
25 me. And 26.
Okay.
So, yes, there is a we do have to be, we have to have a correct behavior when we're brought into leadership. We have,
that's
you
right.
know, there is an order.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Father. Verse 25,
mm-hmm,
if we could. because the foolishness of God is wiser than men.
That's a fact, yeah.
And the weakness of God is stronger than men.
Thank you, Lord.
26, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called.
Mm.
Thank you, Father. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise.
He sure has.
And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And 2 Corinthians.
Okay.
4.
You listeners ought to be turning if you got a Bible in front of you.
Yes.
You could write these scriptures down and look them up.
Yes.
On your own.
And take time.
That's right.
To go over it and let it go down in your spirit. Praise the Lord.
Chapter 2, what?
2 Corinthians 4.
Oh, 4, okay.
Yes, and 5 and 7.
Okay. 5 through 7, huh? All right. Go right ahead.
For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts.
Hallelujah.
To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So as we were once in darkness, he brings us out of darkness
into light
and shows us the light.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That's good.
The call of Christ makes a change. It separates us from our present occupation.
Yeah.
And he prepares us for the service. Our old ways. He takes us out of that. He makes that change for the service of the kingdom of God. In 1 Timothy.
That's where we were just at, weren't we?
In 1 Timothy.
Uh-huh.
Pastor Gene, if you get it.
Chapter?
1 Timothy 3:15-16.
Okay. It says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know, you read this before.
Yes, I did.
How thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Hallelujah. Huh?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Pastor Gene, we only have a couple more minutes. You have something else to share?
No, I was just thinking about these.
How about you, Bob?
This growth.
You're fine. You're good. Praise the Lord.
So we need to grow up, don't we? We don't want to
Bible
be a novice.
Marathon.
Bible marathon. Yes, that's right. I'll spend a couple minutes or a minute telling people about the Bible reading marathon. Maybe you just tuned in at the end of the program. And if you'd like to have a copy of this, you can give us a call, and we'd be glad to give you a copy. It's area code 772-285-7007. I want to remind you that the Bible 18th Annual Bible Reading Marathon will be starting November the 11th.
On Veterans Day.
On Veterans Day at 6 o'clock in the evening. So come down. You can come down and you can, you know, you don't have to read. You can come down and sit and listen. Listen to the Word of God going forth out over the airways, going towards with speakers in the park right there, Memorial Park, right in the government, on the government property. So we'll be reading the entire Bible from November the 11th through the 15th. We need people to sign up to read for 15 minutes or longer. So I'm going to give you a telephone number. It's a nonstop reading. It's 24/7, around the clock, for those five days. The phone number is, you call Joanne, and her phone number is 561-670-0469. That's 561-670-0469. Amen. It's going to be a wonderful, awesome time. And please keep it in prayer. Amen. Good weather. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Because we're outside.
That's right. We pray there'll be no rain.
Hallelujah.
It's every year. Well, anyway, this has been a good time. And I hope you got something out of this. And I think you did, to look at these things in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we should all desire to be in that place. And we can be taught, trained, and activated, and we can be qualified. If God calls you to fivefold ministry, you can do it. And It's wonderful. You know, some people don't even believe in fivefold ministry, but the Bible says we have what, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We know the word pastors and teachers in the Greek is basically one word, but it's two positions. And we just read there in 1 Corinthians 12 that God didn't even talk about an evangelist or a pastor. It was about what? The apostle, the prophet, and what? And the teacher.
But see, everyone is a minister. Everyone should be everybody. Going out and sharing the gospel.
That's
you're
right.
Born again. It's a commandment. You're to go out. It says here in Matthew 28, Jesus said at the very end, verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You see it says in heaven and in earth. Some Bibles change that. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Always, that word always.
Means in all different ways.
All different ways, and that means all these different gifts, always, and even unto the end of the world. Amen.
That's right.
Jesus' words.
That's right.
And he's speaking to everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. So if you haven't called upon the name of the Lord and you're not saved, you haven't asked Jesus to come into your heart, you're not born again, if you don't understand what the term born again means, then you need to ask somebody. You need to call here at the radio station.
We'll be
Pastor
glad to
Jonathan
tell you.
Will tell
Jonathan
you.
Will tell you.
Call us. Call Pastor Tom. Will be
That's
here.
Right.
Ask somebody. They'll tell you what it means to be born again. Be
born from above. Hallelujah.
Amen. So we just thank the Lord for what he's doing with each and every single one of you. Don't forget to go out and vote.
That's right.
Vote. It's very important
on
that
Tuesday.
You vote on Tuesday. Or before that, and vote, and vote
the Bible.
To the Bible.
That's right,
Amen.
According to the Word, yes.
Glory to God.
That's
Amen.
Right. That's
well,
right.
We're just blessed to be here. We do have services this afternoon at 2 o'clock, so come and worship God with us, because the testimony of Jesus, or Yeshua, is the spirit of prophecy.
That's right.
So we're thankful to be here. We're thankful for WCNO. Keep them in prayer. If you haven't made a pledge, you can still do that. They'll take your pledges. Amen.
That's right.
Because we want to keep this radio broadcasting on the air. And it's not only on the air locally, but it's on the internet. So you can go back and listen to this program again and many other programs that are on WCNO. So keep them in prayer and keep them on the air. Amen.
And we're going to continue to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what it's all about.
Because we're all the body of Christ.
We certainly
Amen.
Are.
We're all the body of Christ. We don't have a church name.
Yeah.
No, we are the body of Christ. We are Christians. Amen? Because he loved us.
I think about that prophet or the gentleman that spoke yesterday. He probably realized he's an apostle.
Amen.
I mean, he is. And it was incredible. Good word. So.
But apostles don't lift themselves up. Remember,
nope,
the
don't.
Apostle and the prophet are on the bottom. They're foundational.
That's
the
right.
building is built upon them. So you don't really see the apostle and the prophet. So don't lift up your name, but lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
We have
Christ.
A chart that shows
Amen.
That, don't we?
That's right. All right, Pastor Gene.
Okay. So we love
we
you.
So we say Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Sabbath,
yeah.
peace,
That's
and
right.
rest.
We'll talk to you again next week. Amen.
Amen.
Have a great day.
We are
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the spirit of prophecy.